It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 593. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. I got Skype working, but we're going to save that for later in the show. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. You can check out the wiki. That's at mtswiki.com. There you'll find links to all the past shows, the audio, the show notes. It's a great resource. I have a jam-packed show. Let me just give you a summary. And the topic changed right before the show. I have an Amazon story that I think will lead you to insight in how to handle customer service when you need something that they haven't offered to provide. I'm going to tell you how they handled it. I wish I could have my placement item tomorrow, but I'm not going to get it till Saturday. That's okay. I want to discuss the USB rubber ducky. I bought it. I've been playing with it. I'm going to go over that in detail. I have tons of links for tonight's show. We're going to talk about TeamSpeak. I have lots of tips. I've implemented and tested that. Next time I have a guest, no problem. I'll just give them my IP address and the password. We're going to talk about TeamSpeak alternatives, the Fog Project, the Turtle, antivirus and removal of antivirus tools, and we're going to talk a little bit about ZAR, Zero Assumption Recovery. Let's start things out by talking about Amazon. I have a client, real estate agent, that I was going to go tomorrow afternoon and install dual Dell 23-inch monitors for a system that didn't have any monitors. It was just on a KVM under the owner's desk, and he wants to deploy that. And so I have an inexpensive dual video card, going to pop it in. He loves the 23-inch Dell monitors, so I ordered them from Amazon with delivery today. What happens when I look, and I buy a ton of merchandise from Amazon. I look at the tracking, and it's Amazon delivery for the two monitors, and they say it was delivered. I was like, oh, okay, I'll go out front. They're probably sitting there, no problem. That's normally what happens. Only this time, there's a note that says they delivered them to my back porch. I don't have a back porch. So right off the bat, we know there's a problem. There's no way they could have delivered those monitors to my house. My son, Tyler, and I, we walk all the way around. We're checking everywhere just to make absolutely sure they didn't put them somewhere else on my property. Clearly, they delivered them to the wrong address. I call Amazon customer service. I get an individual on the phone who credits me. She says, we're going to first find out, let's find out what happened, and let me call the carrier. So you remain on hold. I remained on hold. She says, they can't verify that they delivered to you. I said, this is Amazon. This is, well, I said, well, look, you know what? That doesn't matter to me. That's on you. You're the shipper. You're the carrier. You're the person who sold the item. That's you to resolve. How are you going to make me whole? How are you going to correct this situation? I need these two monitors right away. Now, I know it's not an emergency for my client, so I know I can do this on Monday, and that's what's going to happen. They're going to credit me the items, but now I said, well, how am I going to get the items now delivered over the weekend or even delivered tomorrow if it's possible? She doesn't have an answer. I ask her to be escalated to a supervisor. I said, I'm too big of a customer for you to not resolve this for me. You must connect me to a supervisor. I wait, but while I'm waiting, I go take a look at what are the other options for me purchasing an item, the same item, the same monitors that I can get delivered quickly. The first thing I notice is that there is a shipper. There was only two that was fulfillment by Amazon. So I know now that's under their control. Even though they're not the seller, it's fulfilled by Amazon. For Amazon Prime, they will deliver it free Sunday, but I don't want to take that chance. So what I've done is I've asked them to, I seen that there was delivery option of Saturday, but it was at a cost. And these monitors were just $5 more, but I'm not paying any more for their problem. So before she gets on the phone, I said, if they credit me the difference in the price and they credit me 100% of the expedited shipping, I'll be happy. So I already decided in my head what will make me happy. Stephanie gets on the phone, very nice lady. How can we make this right? And I was ready. I said, I have a choice of two sellers here at the same price that are fulfillment by Amazon to repurchase these monitors. And I said, tell me which one to pick. And that's the one I'll purchase. And she told me the one. I said, okay, I'm adding the two to my cart. I'm picking Saturday delivery. I said, now, by the way, these monitors are $5 more. So I want a credit for that. I said, I want a credit for any shipping that I'm going to get that's going to be imposed. She says, no problem. Took a look. Saturday was the fastest they could get them here to me, but there was no shipping options from any of these resellers to be able to get it tomorrow. So let's do Saturday. I can always move my client to Monday, even though I don't want to. No problem. They credit me the entire order that was shipped to the wrong address. They credit me the $10 and then the $32 for shipping for the two monitors to have them by Saturday. So they credit me on another order that had already been placed. They credited $42 on that. I said, I'm happy. I said, let's just make sure that I'm going to get the product. I said, I'm worried that if they're going to send the same driver to deliver these two monitors, she said, and this is funny, she says, oh, I guarantee that that person will not be delivering. And I said, thank you. That, you know, whatever you got to do to correct the situation, and I'm happy. This is why I will buy from Amazon. I think many of you have similar stories where it's easy if everything goes right. It's what happens when things go wrong and how do you make me whole? How do you correct the situation? You got to have options. You can't let, this is the lesson. You can't leave it in the hands of the merchant to decide how to make you whole. That doesn't work. Have reasonable options. An example, you're at a restaurant and things go ugly. They just go really bad. When the manager comes up, don't ask to have your whole meal comped if you got a bunch of people. That's not going to happen. And that's not fair. Maybe all the beverages and dessert is comped. Start there. And I bet you you're going to come to some kind of a reasonable solution that's going to make you happy. And the manager can easily execute for you. So that's what I was prepared when the supervisor got on the phone. I was not unreasonable. Credit me the difference in the price. Credit me all shipping. Now, for the inconvenience of everything, it would have been nice for her to say, you know what? And sometimes they've done this. We're going to give you an extra $15 or $20 coupon off your next order. And that would have been nice, but I didn't insist upon that. So have options ready for how they can make it right. That's within reason. And I did that, and we had a happy conclusion to the situation. And a shameless plug here. If you buy from Amazon, my Amazon link, use that. Amazon.micnation.net. Small commission comes back. You will not regret buying from Amazon. I don't know of a truly negative story that stayed negative that they didn't do everything humanly possible and make it right. I've only had great positive stories from Amazon customer service. They are the textbook in customer service that all retailers should model after. Let's talk about the USB rubber ducky. That's next on my list here. I have been playing with this a little bit. I have like three or four links that I'm going to put in the show notes. The first one is to buy it. What is the USB rubber ducky? Well, how about if you had a device that looks like a USB stick, but buried inside is a component that has a micro SD in it and will trigger being a keyboard when you plug it into the computer and will automatically launch the default image that's on the SD card. Well, why would I want something like this? There's evil ways and then there's good ways. So there's an online duck toolkit that allows you to build the code for what you want to do. Do you want to grab passwords? Do you want to grab a configuration? You have a payload generator, a payload encoder, a payload decoder, and then standalone tools. What's a payload? I'm going to give you a list of some of the things that you can do and easily program this device. How about a Wi-Fi password grabber? Hide the CMD window. There's an ultimate exploit, a Wi-Fi backdoor, a ducky downloader. How about downloading something to this system the minute you put this in? You can pull all kinds of information. How about all the browser passwords? You can do a DNS poisoning. So you can see, you can erase a drive. You can do evil things or you can do good things. There's a combination. It also works with OS X. So what I'm trying to do is build the ultimate key that I'm with a client and I plug this in and it just grabs everything that I need very quickly. And you can even have it email you the results. So how do you build this? They give you a USB device that can take the micro SD. So you first take out the micro SD, put it in this device, and now you can put it right into your computer, and it's a regular drive that you can write. It's a regular drive letter. You go to the links that I have in the show notes here, and you can build what they call the payload that you're going to launch. Check the boxes, and it literally downloads this image file that all you have to do is copy it onto the USB. So the default one, when you plug it in right out of the box, it opens up Notepad and says, hello world. So it's like your first program. That gives you an idea of what you can do. So you can test trying to launch certain programs, grabbing certain information, test emailing it to you. It's a lot of fun. It's something that hackers use to gain information. And this was a scene this year in Mr. Robot where the person needed to get a lot of the info and put this in, grabbed all the info, and then took it back to their desktop. It's a great little device. As a matter of fact, Real McCoy in the chat, Daniel, sent me a link to something we're going to talk about later with his email, which is the Land Turtle. And we'll talk a little bit about that. I wanted to just share something that I've been playing with when I had a chance. Just give you more things to think about, more things to try. There's good that you can use for this, which is collecting all the information you need on a computer very quickly just by popping this in. That's my ultimate plan for the use of the USB rubber ducky. I have a ton of email and a ton of links that I want to get to. This first one is by Keith, and it's in response to last week's show, which, by the way, I received a few responses where everybody liked the debate and the interaction between me and Winston Wolf. And whether you agreed or disagreed with any of our comments, the consensus was that you liked it, it was fun, please have Winston on again. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you how I'm going to do it, and it's going to be a lot easier. And we'll get to that email in a second. First, in response to the iPhone. Now, Friday morning at 4 a.m., I know they went on sale at 3 a.m. Eastern time, I ordered my upgrade from AT&T for the iPhone 7. It will be here tomorrow, and I will upgrade and then talk about that a little bit next week on my experiences. Now, a couple days ago, Apple released iOS 10. I would say unless you know you're upgrading, just hold off a few days, especially the first day. There's always issues. If you want to be the first one downloading the upgrade, be prepared for your iPhone to possibly be bricked or have tremendous issues. They always have initial issues. I waited till the end of the day when I got home that evening to do my upgrade, and I first used my iPad mini as a guinea pig. I wanted to see 10 work on that and everything go good. It was only a few minutes. I was like, okay, now why am I doing it to my phone? Why do I put myself through this for the new 10 upgrade? I know I'm getting an iPhone 7 Friday, and I'm going to be doing a restore from my iCloud backup. I want to back up my phone using iOS 10 so I have an easier transition on the restore to an iOS 10. Now, I know that's not a requirement, but it does make it a little easier and it's a little safer. So I go through the upgrade and went through it. And remember, even with an upgrade and even with like a new phone, you're going to have a slowdown. The first 24 hours, it's going to be tough. Like the first thing, the minute I was done, I knew the phone was going to be slow because it's re-indexing and doing a whole sort of things. And 22 of my apps had to be updated. Well, that's going to take a lot of time. Phone's going to get hot. You got to have it plugged in. You better have good Wi-Fi when you're doing this. All these things have to come into play before you start invoking a new update to your phone. And I don't care whether you're Samsung or Apple, it doesn't matter. Make sure you have a backup. Make sure you have all your pictures, all your videos, everything you care about. Make sure you manually copy that. Then I did a full backup of my system to iCloud just in case I had to do a reset and restore. Go back to the factory defaults. Do a restore from iCloud. I was prepared to do that if I had to. So have a good backup. Now tomorrow, before I activate my new phone, I'm going to do a full backup to iCloud with iOS 10. Then that's the backup. I'm going to restore everything to the new phone. I know the first couple hours, it's going to be hell with the new phone when you start activating. This has been through this before. I now know. So I got to pick a time in the afternoon or maybe in the evening when I know I'm not going to get hit with some phone calls for clients or I don't have anything pending. And that's when I'm going to do everything. So I wanted to lay that all out for everybody. If you're going to advise someone, heed to what I've just said, or maybe it's yourself. This is from Keith. Listening to all the discussions about the iPhone on show 592, one thing that I haven't heard mentioned is that with the removal of the headphone jack, what happens to companies like Square and PayPal, which use that port for their payment readers? Did Apple just put them out of business? Even better, conspiracy theory. Was this intentional so you can only use Apple Pay? Also, I commute on public transportation a lot, especially my school back in session. I see an average of 1 to 5 students using an external battery pack to keep the phones charged while listening on their earbuds. Just wanted to add my thoughts. Thanks for the show. I enjoy listening to it on my commute. Keith from New York, thank you so much. Here's my response. Square already has a Bluetooth device, so you can go Bluetooth. Now, I don't know if Square and the other manufacturers, can they take advantage of the Apple Wireless that was released? So that's a possibility. Also, the pigtail works. It should work. That little adapter that goes to the lightning to that jack, you can always use that. I'm hoping that that would still work, just like it would plugging it into the jack. The big problem is going to be charging the phone while you need to listen to an earbud. Now, you can go to the AirPods, which is wireless. You could go to Bluetooth. A lot of people have Bluetooth headsets and don't even use the jack. If you use the jack, and I went looking for this and could not find it, at least just on Amazon, do they have a lightning jack splitter? I do know there's a charger that has a pass-through with the jack so you can listen with your typical head earbuds on the normal jack and also be charging your phone. There are devices like that that are inexpensive. But if you want to use your traditional device for charging and use the tethered wired jack, you're going to need some type of splitter coming off the lightning for any new phone. Or if that's that important to you, don't upgrade. There's nothing saying that you have to go to the 7. As a matter of fact, if you're a 6 or a 6S user, if you're a camera person that you got to have the best camera, then the 7 Plus is something you want to strongly look at. Is there enough features to get you to upgrade? I don't see them. As a matter of fact, there's no reason you should get out of your plan early. And if you're in a two-year cycle, maybe stay the course until next year, because I think that the iPhone 8 next year will be more revolutionary and give you more reason to upgrade. My recommendation is not upgrade when you're saying, well, Mike, why did you upgrade? I have to upgrade. My clients, my listeners, everybody I interact with asks me my opinion. Should I get the 7? What's it all about? What's going on? And I need to experience it. All of the owners of most of my businesses that are my retainer clients, they live in an Apple ecosystem at home that they have iPhones, iPads, and I have to be prepared to support and guide them. So I have a different motivation, and I'm on the AT&T 12-month Next plan. I pay to basically lease my phone for the rest of my life, but it guarantees me a new phone every 12 months, and I don't have to worry. I'm going to get my phone in the mail tomorrow. I went online, bang, did the upgrade. Now, my wife is not upgrading. She's been an iPhone user from the start with me. She has to be able to take the phone underwater, completely submerged, and take video and pictures of the grandkids, whether it be in the pool or in the ocean. That's so important to her. She's going to go to the new Samsung. She must be fully waterproof with her smartphone. And the iPhone 7 is only water resistant. It is not waterproof. Keep that in mind. So my wife will not be continuing with the iPhone because that is the most important feature for her. And it's not available for the iPhone yet. You can get it a little wet right now, but that's about it. You can't fully submerge it because it will not be covered under warranty. I don't think their intention was to put companies out of business for payment. I think it's an added bonus if people, yes, go to the Apple Pay. But I think what it's going to do is push everybody more to a wireless solution for their devices. And I got no problem with that. Last week, Winston and I decided right before the show to connect and record and debate the removal of the iPhone audio jack. And we tried to connect via Skype, and Skype just refused to launch. Now, I didn't want to do a reboot because I was already hooked up with my Ustream producer and the camera set, and everything was set. I could not reboot. I couldn't even uninstall it properly. So I downloaded Revo Uninstaller Portable. I removed it. I downloaded the new version of Skype, and it would not install. I connected to Winston with my iPhone over FaceTime on my iMac. And my iMac is connected to my mixer. The phone I stuck on my microphone boom so he could hear me on that microphone, but he couldn't hear anything else except me. And then I'm talking into the microphone here being recorded, and his audio is being naturally recorded through the mixer through FaceTime on my iMac. Yes, that sounds complicated, but we actually got it to work and recorded for an hour and had a lot of fun. I put it out to the listeners and you came through. What is the alternative to Skype? And not only is it alternative, it is significantly better and significantly easier to work with. Let's start with the first email. And this was, I think I'm pronouncing it right, Abate. Hi, Mike. I strongly suggest for you to take a look at TeamSpeak. The system is one of the gamers' preferred option because of the low latency and high quality audio. It has two components, a server and a client. You can host your own server if you have a good connection. Well, I have 300 meg up and down, so I think I qualify for a pretty good connection. This is going to be a link, his first link here, and we have several, a YouTube video on how to install TeamSpeak. Then he has another YouTube video on how to configure for the maximum sound quality for the client. Please note that you may find continuous transmission better for your purpose. When you look at the configuration, you'll understand what that means. There is a lot of info and resources online on how to set up and use this program. Maybe not as easy as Skype. Well, actually, I thought it was pretty easy. Skype-like programs, but usually it is well worth it. Friday night, I received this email. I immediately installed it on my test machine behind me, set it up, configured it, had my son, my youngest son, Tyler, who is a gamer. He has TeamSpeak client already installed. I gave him our public IP address and the password. He connected. We talked. He's in another room. We're talking, and I recorded it, and it sounded incredible. And I still got two more recommendations, including USS Rover, who recommended Mumble. Another listener recommended that. That's an email that's coming here. And a couple others. So there's other alternatives to Skype. And I am so glad to hear that, because anybody who's going to join me on the podcast as a guest, I'm going to have them use TeamSpeak, the client. It's a piece of cake to connect. And then I have complete control of the audio, and the server is on my turf, not someone else's. The audio will sound amazing. Great, great recommendation. Thank you so much for that. And he continues, because I wrote back and I said, oh, I love it, man. Thank you so much. He wrote back, also check to edit the channel codecs and really tweak the audio. He sent me a great link. And he says, I don't know if you are self-hosting the server. If you are not comfortable giving your IP address to people, well, I'm not going to give it to the public. It's going to be someone I trust, like Winston or Carrie Holzman, to do. Now I'm ready to do Tech Vets because I have something better to record our audio on. Taz in the chat just put Discord app, which is another recommendation I have here in an email already. We're all on the same wavelength here. It's great. He goes on, there's another link for more server information. And then he says, there is even possible solution for your Skype problem. I totally forgot about it since I am a bit old school, and it's called Discord. This thing has a less complicated way of working. You can create a slot server from the browser or the app if you like. I think it will be less of a hassle for your guest. No account required, works from a browser. The issue here is the audio quality. There are people who love it. There are people that experience some degradation a la Skype. Well, I don't want that. Discord, I'll still have a link to it, but that's not the ultimate solution. Right now, I was so blown away by the quality of TeamSpeak That's it. Jonas, thank you for your email. He suggested Mumble, which was also recommended in the chat. And that is open source, another TeamSpeak alternative. I will have that. So we got three right now. This is from Tom in the chat right now. Everybody's in the chat here. Thank you. After listening to your last show, I was wondering about what you had said about the Skype issues. Then today, listening to Martin Obando's new episode of Geeksters 179, his co-host Mitch mentioned the Windows 10 anniversary update webcam issue that Paul Thoreau talked about. After Googling that, I got the following link. I'm going to put that up. It's not an issue because I haven't gotten to the anniversary update. My system just refuses to update that. That's another story that I have to redo my computer. I can't get any Windows 10 updates. And you know what? I'm not even worried about it because I'm getting ready to pull the trigger and actually do a from scratch with the media creation tool with the anniversary update already there right from the get-go. I'm just wondering if this is what your issue is with Skype. At the end of the article, they talked about a registry workaround tweak that is a temporary fix. This is where the camera doesn't work anymore with Skype with the anniversary update. Maybe you should try this. Hope this may help, as I don't have an alternative suggestion for you to use instead of Skype. Well, now we have a couple. Love your show. Keep up the great work, Tom. Awesome. This is from Daniel, who's in the chat, Real McCoy. Snagging creds from locked machines. Hi, Mike. To go along with a topic a couple weeks ago involving Mr. Robot and the technology they show and mention, here's another article describing how to get system credentials from locked machines using a couple devices, one of which is another hack5.org product, the Turtle. Spooky stuff. Take it easy. Have a great weekend. Dan, thank you. And that link will be in the show notes for the Land Turtle. Great stuff here. This is from Philip. Czar saved the day. Czar is the zero assumption recovery. Hi, Mike. I remembered one of your programs you talked about a few years ago, the zero assumption recovery tool, the free edition. My friend went to Coney Island to watch a baseball game. He was taking some pictures. For some reason, he decided to delete one picture, but hit delete all by mistake. I downloaded and installed the program, and once he received the card reader for the micro SD card, we recovered all the pictures. He was so happy. Great story. Love hearing that. I got that recommendation from Carrie Holzman. We were recording a Tech Vets, and we were doing this live when a client brought her 8 gig USB stick, which she couldn't get to anything and didn't have a backup, and it was her entire life on this USB stick. And while we were recording the show, I was getting all the files on my test machine behind me, and I recovered 100% of everything. Matter of fact, when I was starting to recover everything, I gladly registered and paid the $69 for the full version. Great product. Highly recommend Czar. He continues here. The Windows repair toolbox you talked about is going to make my monthly maintenance on my computer much easier now than getting each program separately. Thanks, Mike. Keep the shows coming. You are very welcome. Thanks for the email. Mark Cobb, longtime regular listener. This is a recommendation for free antivirus, because I was asking, hey, what are you guys using? And you're going to love next week's show. I already have that. Unless something big happens, I have the ultimate Windows security protection guide. You are going to love all the links. You've heard everything before. Got a couple new things in there. I'm going to detail. It's going to be the ultimate guide that you will be able to have that show, 594, next week, that will detail everything you want, one place to go for all the links. This is my definitive security standard that I'm going to use and have been using on systems. At the beginning of last year, I switched from recommending AVG free to Bitdefender free, which is what I'm using right now. as my recommended free antivirus of choice. It's very simple and idiot-proof. It doesn't bombard the user with pop-ups. After installing Bitdefender free, make sure that you provide an email address and password. You have to register it. And I did that. Click on the activation link in the email that will be sent. Otherwise, the software will deactivate after 30 days. Mark, thank you. That's exactly what I've been using on several systems, and I am very, very happy with Bitdefender. Speaking of Martin Obando, this is from Martin. Here is a web page with a list of multiple antivirus uninstallers, and it's from Bitdefender's website. Hey, of course they're going to want you to properly uninstall all the competition. That's great. It's a link that you're going to want, that you can get all of the uninstallers for all of the antivirus programs that you might be ripping out and replacing. Good link. Martin, thank you so much. This is from Josh. I clicked the Deep Sound link in your show notes and tried to download the software from the download page of the website. My antivirus blocked the download and found a Trojan horse. Just wanted to let you know. Love your podcast. Thanks, Josh. Josh, there's no Trojan horse in it. But the program by default is not a program that antiviruses like because of what it can do and encrypt files and hide files. As a matter of fact, did you notice any of the password cracking tools or anything that you download? You're going to get all kinds of problems with your anti-malware, antivirus programs that you're going to have to override and tell it to ignore. This happens when you're playing in that space with programs that don't act in the traditional way. That link was good, and I think you're okay. I even emailed him back that I think it was a false positive for him in wanting it. This is Jason, and this is a deep freeze alternative. This was a problem that a client had with deep freeze. We're going to get into a couple solutions again for him. We used to use deep freeze for a client that is a public library and has two locations. Let me reiterate what deep freeze is. Deep freeze allows you to totally redo a system from the cloud and put it back to its initial state, sort of reimaging it. We use a product called Clean Slate by Fortress Grand. We used to use deep freeze, but we switched to this because of the session wiping. Deep freeze only wipes the changes on a reboot. Clean Slate can wipe the changes on each log off. So the time limit manager software we use automatically logs off the public users when the time limit expires, and then Clean Slate wipes the changes so the next public user doesn't log in and see someone else's Gmail, email, or banking info if they forgot to log off. It is really good software, so give it a try. As for managing multiple locations, it has a maintenance window option, so they are closed on Sundays, and we use GFI to push all of the Windows and third-party updates on Sundays during the maintenance window. Then it automatically locks the computer back down at the end of the maintenance windows. They also have a central control server component that allows you to control all the installations and the setting for all of the workstations at the same time. So check it out, and maybe it will work for your listener that emailed you. And this is Fortress, Fortress Grand, Grand.com. Check it out. Jason, thank you so much. This email is from Brandon. Hi, Mike. Brandon from Houston, a sysadmin, electronic tech, etc., etc. I'm here in the trenches with you. When I listened to show 591, I thought I'd speak up since I had the very same issue with deep freeze. I have since dropped deep freeze and moved to FOG, or free cloning computer solution. Remember in that show I mentioned, I didn't know the name FOG. This is it. Thank you so much here. This is a true setup and forget about it solution. As I have set up schools and college computer labs with this FOG project. You can have a server on site or not that holds the images of computers that can be put on a schedule or on demand to re-image or take an image with even a smartphone as a controller. This is also used in school districts where the kids use the computers for the day, and then on a schedule at night, they get re-imaged for the next day's use. The FOG project has many configurations, even for domains. I've used it here at my place of employment, and if a user gets infected with any virus, we can re-image from the day before or re-image from a computer that is not infected, and this normally takes about 15 to 20 minutes over 100 gig LAN. I think he probably means 1 gig or 100 meg, probably 100 megabyte there. If the hard drive goes bad in a computer, we have minions that replace the hard drive and issue the command to re-image, and the system is back up in about 15, 20 minutes. There are a mix of Windows 7 and Windows 10 with Office 2016 and a few other applications installed. What's neat about FOG, it uses any flavor of Linux, and it's free. You could have an image server local to the computers on site or an image server that's centralized, but know that if you have to image over the internet, it could be slower. Keep up the good fight, Mike, and just know we are all out there listening. Brandon, awesome description of the FOG project. Link will be in the show notes. Great recommendation. This is from our moderator, Taz Cools. Let's see if we can help him here. I have had two different customers that had issues and solved in a similar way. First was one that had two different laptops and one of them stopped printing. Computer was able to see the laptop but would not print. First tried to uninstall the driver and reload, no joy. Used Windows printer troubleshooter and was able to print a test sheet, but it said that there was an issue with the software. Tried running Windows all-in-one system repair, no joy. Had to go to Toronto. Customer happy to wait as it was not an emergency. Customer ended up reloading the printer driver, and after the fifth time, the printer worked. How can this be? Any idea why this might work? The first thing I do when there's a printer issue is I stop the printer spooler. Then I go to that directory and look under the Etsy directory, the printers, and make sure that all those files in that directory are deleted. Then I restart the service. Then I take a look at any other printing issues. That's the first thing I do. And I would say about 7 times out of 10, that fixes the printer problems. Now, printer drivers can get corrupt. I mean, that happens, you know, I've seen that, and usually reinstalling the printer driver fixes it. I'm not sure why it took 5 retries and then it finally worked. I don't have an answer there. Second customer called regarding issues with 8.1 to 10 upgrade and got a message and called the next day and left a message, and the customer called a day later. Upon talking to him, he ran Windows all-in-one system repair, and after 5 times, he was able to upgrade to 10. I don't understand it. He ran AIO system repair 5 times? I don't know there. I guess not enough details to kind of analyze the situation to reflect on. I use the tweaking.com Windows all-in-one repair tool. That's a great go-to tool that repairs many things. And it's nice to have in your toolbox so you can repair stuff. I've had it fix things. I've had it not fix things. When it works, it's great, but it can't fix everything. Usually, I like running that after a deeply infected system because lots of infections changes permissions, changes icons, change files, and I just like to run it all and repair everything. Why it fixed going from 8.1 to 10, I'm not so sure that that fixed it. What I think is that at one point, it fixed the Windows update, which means that it reset the Windows update and it deleted everything. Where I had this trick a few weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago, on trying to get Windows 10 to upgrade, and you have to delete the Windows update folder and its contents, and you got to stop the service. that's what's built into the repair tool. And I'm wondering if it just finally worked. And that's what really got 8 point to be able to go to 8.1 to 10. This is from Terry from Arizona. I have worked in IT since 1983. I just do work on the side just for beer money and help people out. I have worked on Dell and HP computers that were not tested for Windows 10, and there are no Windows 10 drivers. On a couple of Dells, the computers were so messed up that I reformatted and put Windows 7 back on it. I have the official Dell media for Windows 7 for legally putting back Windows 7, so no problem on the Dell. I cleaned up an HP system with a lot of malware. It was running Windows 10, and I went to the HP site and found there were no drivers. The computer is running okay with Windows 10, but has a glitch installing updates. I did what I could for the home user, and it says it's running fine. In a case like this, I just do the best to support the computer since I don't have the media to restore Windows 10 legally. Well, yes, you do. You can do that because check to make sure that it's active. Windows 10 has a digital activation that's on Microsoft servers for activating Windows 10. Matter of fact, we just redid a system here this afternoon that was upgraded from Windows 7 and had major, major, major problems with Windows 10. I mean, ugly, some things happened, and I don't know what they did. I said, let's redo the system. My son grabbed the system. We brought it here. I have new Windows 10 USB bootable images because of the anniversary update. You want to make sure that you create new media. So I overwrote some of the old ones. He popped that in. It's got an SSD in that laptop. 10 minutes, we had Windows 10 up and running. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. And that system is smoking fast. But we had problems with some of the drivers. And this is a Dell system. Driver Max to the rescue. It's worth every penny they ask for. The free version, you can only do one driver at a time. We had four drivers that it couldn't find. I ran Driver Max. I used my registration. Now, I've done this. I think you only get like 20 or 21 uses, but it was like $39. That's $2 to find the drivers. I'm in. To me, that's cheap. My time's worth way more than that in trying to hunt down drivers, if you can even find them. Driver Max, which, by the way, I wrote back to Terry and said, hey, Driver Max, that's the thing you want to use. We put that on, found all the drivers. Beautiful. Everything's running great. Matter of fact, my son is going to deliver that tomorrow. Client has lots of laptops that we worked on and did the upgrades. Perfect. Matter of fact, I have another system sitting here that things went bad, and we're going to do the same thing. It's so much easier to just redo the system, and especially clients like this that have servers that store no data locally. So this way we can easily wipe. As a matter of fact, these are systems that are worthy of the Fog Project to be able to just re-image them. Redoing Windows 10 is a piece of cake, especially if it's already activated. So Terry, hope that helps you going forward. There's a lot into this little email here. This is Stanford, and he says, possible show topics. Windows 10 repair tools. Anniversary update problems and solutions. Clarify what the government wants to do to give away U.S. internet. I don't understand that. Cloud storage for Joe Sixpack. What is a good, free, and simple, and what lifespan can you expect from your router and modem? How to tell when it's time to replace? These are great questions, and I'm going to cover a couple of them here. So the Windows 10 anniversary update, I've heard good, I've heard bad. I'm on the bad side. I've had a terrible problem here. Well, I just kind of covered the answer. If you've already got Windows 10 and you want to go to the Windows update, you know what? Back up all your data, back up all your settings. Use a program like Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro. Love it. Use that to grab your settings, grab your data, re-image your system with a Windows 10 USB stick that was set up for the anniversary update. So if you go there now and create and download the media creation tool, it's exactly what you're going to get. Redo the system. It's so fast. Then reinstall your programs. And especially if your system was an in-place upgrade from Windows 7 or Windows 8, you're going to feel better anyway re-imaging it. Good online storage. You got free and then you got business. I don't recommend any online storage that's free, because free can go away. We've seen that happen. Dropbox, I want the pro version. Online storage for backups. I love SOS backup. I like Mozy Pro. For just storage in the cloud, you can get a terabyte of storage using Microsoft's OneDrive. I love OneDrive. And I share all my files between all of my systems and my Mac and my iPad and my iPhones. OneDrive has an app or a program across every operating system. Well, wait, I don't know if there's a Linux one, but at least in the Windows ecosystem and the Apple ecosystem, you have no problem with OneDrive. Great option. And you can get that with Office 365 for Home, where you get 5 installs of the full Office and you get a terabyte of storage. Now, that's $99 a year. That's my best recommendation that gives you the best bang for the buck with reliable storage. You shouldn't need over a terabyte, and I think that is my best solution. How long to replace hardware? If it's an Office, 5 years. No ifs, ands, or buts. I want to see all my clients on a 5-year life cycle. And I teach them, because the total cost of ownership for having something over 5 years, it will cost you more in the long run than it will if you replace it new. Now, at home, if I can get away with it, I try to squeeze a few more years out of it if I can. Like the older system, maybe update to an SD. Wireless, I want to be on the bleeding edge. That's why I have my nice ASUS AC wireless access points, because I want fast wireless when you're walking through the house. And I want roaming on so you can go through. So a lot for home and even for the office depends on budget. So you want to weigh the best bang for the buck with technology versus what you can afford. But my business clients, I let them know I want to see them put into their budget replacement hardware every 5 years. I worked for a pharmaceutical in another lifetime years ago. We were on a 3-year life cycle. New hardware, 3 years, no questions asked. That's it. All new systems, everything, every 3 years. Some big companies are like that. I have a couple of my biggest clients are on that 5-year life cycle, and they budget it that way. And now that I'm in the 8th year of my company, I've already been through 2 network, server, and workstation upgrades with 2 of my biggest clients because they are on that cycle. Again, at home, it's a matter of what you can afford versus what can you play with. You know, if you're doing computer support on the side and that's your mad money, or we'll say disposable income, then yeah, you have some freedom to maybe do some more things. Play with some new hardware. Buy that, the land turtle or the USB rubber ducky, and play with it. Play with some of the tools, you know, and that's how you learn and that's how you get better. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Remember to take care of my sponsors and my affiliates and my Amazon link. Sponsor, Instant House Call. Just the best for remote access. Go to instanthousecall.com. Enter the promo code Mike Tech Show for your free 15-day trial. Fabs Backup 6 Pro, Fabs Auto Backup, great program. Tech Site Builder, that's what you want for your tech website, no question. And the Business Repair Kit version 3 from Bryce Whitty from TechNibble. If you know anybody in the IT business, IT consulting, a repair shop, these are the core forms that you need for your business. That's it. I'll see everybody next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.